Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. I'll tell you what. Let me tell you right off the top of this show, that new intro we've got by Wheelhouse, tell me that doesn't make you want to sing it every now and then.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. Ken did a great job on that, him sure. And the whole Wheelhouse band.
Yep.
Just got to say thanks so much. I thought I'd throw that in right off the top. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Have we got a star-studded lineup for you tonight on this show? We really try each and every week to give you the utmost. And I believe, Junior, we just may have outdone ourselves this time around. This is going to be a dynamite night.
It's going to be busy. We got to talk fast.
Yeah.
We're gonna go. It's going to be fun, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great guests, lined up. This weekend was a great weekend of racing.
It was.
There was a ton going on. Yep. Obviously, under the regulations and under the rules of today, there was still lots of action on track, though.
Yeah, there was only awesome. So much that can be done,
exactly.
But what could be done was done this weekend.
Absolutely.
We are going to start it all off tonight. Let me tell you who we got coming on this very program over the next 2 hours. We're going to kick it all off with Joe Lawrence. He is the APC, presented by Grisdale Champion. How about that? Joe in that 78 Penzoil car, he had what you would call a dynamite day yesterday.
He had a dynamite season.
Yeah, he did. I mean, what, five of six, right?
Four of five. He had a phenomenal outing this year.
Yeah.
It didn't surprise anybody.
No.
I mean, if we went back and I believe, we interviewed him in the middle of January last year, kind of preparing for the 2020 season. And, it wasn't a surprise to see him go out there and run very well right out of the box.
Right.
Was it a surprise that he put a whooping on them that bad?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. And, the guy impressed a ton of people.
Yep.
It's a brand new car, and that happens where a driver can unload and it can be fast and it can be career changing.
Right.
But in order to have the dominance that he has, it's him, right? It's him and his team.
Yes.
And, you have to be able to give the feedback. You have to be able to dial the thing in. It's a shortened season. You got to be able to remain under pressure. And, man, he overperformed in every category. And just hats off, congratulations, and I look forward to talking to him on the program. I seen him last night in Victory Lane. I walked by, and he was obviously, collecting the trophy from Frank Wall and the guys at Quick Wick. It was so cool to see the smile on their face. It was awesome.
Back to the helicopter theory, right, of last week, remember? You get a helicopter, here you go. Now fly it, right?
Exactly.
Well, tell you what, Joe Lawrence, he's the real deal.
But
he flew it.
Yeah. I tell you what, that's a fast helicopter.
that's
one fast helicopter. Just the speed that he showed at every single time that the cars hit the racetrack. It wasn't just practice, or it wasn't just the race. It was practice. It was qualifying.
Yeah.
It was in testing. He was the benchmark. And that there is the surprising portion to me. When he's racing guys like J.R. Fitzpatrick and Brandon Watson and those guys, he was the benchmark.
Yes.
And moving forward, he's got a big target on his back now. And that's what you want to hear as a team. You want to be the rabbit.
The guy.
And he is the rabbit.
He is the guy. The excitement will continue tonight. We're going to go off to Canada's East Coast. Of course, big race there yesterday as well. The first one at Riverside International Speedway for 2020. It was the Parts for Trucks Tour. It was a tremendous race. Nicholas Nogle goes to Victory Lane for his first tour race ever. He won it. And we're going to catch up with Nicholas here tonight on the show.
His first win ever.
That's his first
not,
win.
Not his first tour race.
No, his first tour win.
Yes.
Wayne Keeling, a name synonymous with super late model racing here in the province of Ontario, and probably right across the country. Wayne Keeling, one of those recognizable names. Wayne Keeling going to get back behind the wheel and have some fun at Flamborough Speedway. Before he does that, he's stopping by Racetime Radio, and we will check in tonight with Wayne. Then off to the west coast of Canada, all the way out to Sun Peaks, BC, to be exact. We're going to bring in Jason White, a real good friend of Racetime Radio. He's got some announcing he's going to do on this very show tonight. We'll find out what he has got coming up. Then let me see, back into Ontario. Back, how about this time, on to dirt. Merrittville Speedway was the scene last weekend, and it was Alan Downey going to Victory Lane with his 19 crate sprint car, his first win in that crate sprint. Exciting stuff, and we're going to check in tonight with Alan Downey, first trip around Racetime Radio. We'll grab him, and then... how about AJM? So we could go. He went to Victory Lane at Sunset Speedway in the Oscar Modifieds yesterday in the Oscar Modifieds. It was TJ Edwards that went to Victory Lane. So we got AJ, we got TJ, we got all stuff in between, and we're going to kick it all off right now, shall we? With the hotline, and let's welcome in that APC champion for 2020. It is the 78 Pennzoil Chevrolet, and it is Joe Lawrence. He's on the hotline. What's going on, Joey? How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Wonderful, man. Wonderful. It's what an outing this year.
definitely.
That's the best way I can put it for you, man. The happiness that everybody felt at that racetrack last night for you, you know, you've been a diehard competitor for a long time. It's got to feel good. I think it was the longest receiving line that I've seen in a long time, you know, of people congratulating you guys on what you guys accomplished this year. And it was definitely pretty cool to see.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Joe, take us back through the season, man. It's got to be a blur. It's got to be a flash, a shortened season. But nevertheless, we had Jason Hathaway on this show just last week after winning the Pinty's Challenge, if you will, in the NASCAR Pinty Series. He said, you know, it's tough to do when you got a short season like that. One little mistake and it throws you out. Look at you, Joe. You had a shortened season. You had to hit every single mark, and man, you hit them all yesterday, winning both 75 lap races, and it was indicative really of the season that was 2020. Take us back through it. What was it like to be the pilot of the 78 for Pennzoil?
It was definitely an amazing feeling. It's just such a hard-working team that we had put together here, so to drive a car as well as the 78 was all year, it's definitely an unbelievable feeling. And to just cap it all off, like you said, a short season just leaves you no room for errors, and all the guys on the team pulled it off perfectly.
So what did you learn this year that you definitely have got wrote down in that notebook? What did you learn this year that made the big difference? Because I know you were stout last year, but this year, man, you were dominant.
Well, honestly, this year we've built a really good notebook, just from what we've learned this year, but I think it all stemmed to last year, what we had going on. We, as a rookie season, I personally learned a lot as a driver, what you need to do and what you need to be able to do in the APC race, and our team built the knowledge and built the notebook for what we needed, and we went back home, and during the off season we built a car that we needed, and we just made it work, and everything fell into place.
100%. Fell into place is right. Looking at, I'm going to go back to the first APC race. You know, everybody was excited to get there, and everybody was excited that we were actually going to have a race after a long period of downtime. You know, it was at Jucasa. Everybody was, you know, just excited to be there. And when you guys took the green flag for race number one, you know, you had to be smiling underneath that helmet from then until the end of last night, basically, or even now. Just on the performance side on the racetrack at Jukasa, especially, because that I think you were good everywhere, but at Jukasa, you it fits you like a glove, just with the smoothness that you have to have and getting off the corners. You have to be aggressive on entry, and you have to get off the corners, you know, as aggressive as possible. And I didn't see that out of you prior to this year. And, that's gotta be a little bit of an acquired taste, for yourself and a little bit of a change in driving style heading into the season. Was there any change to you, like as a driver?
I would definitely say some of it stems back from the rookie season we had, just going to all these different tracks. It was a lot different for me. Prior to the APC series, I really only ran Delaware and Sunset near the end. So to go to all these different tracks, and you know, you realize that every track has its unique characteristics, and you have to drive them differently. They're all a different place, and you got to adapt to them separately. I definitely agree that Jukasa was one of the places that I feel like we've absolutely come on strong here this year, and I think just as a driver and a team, we've figured out a really good package there, and we've just been really strong every time we go there.
I've probably done more bench racing about one specific race, you know, since yesterday afternoon to today, than I've ever done in the past. And that is the Canadian Short Track Nationals over at Jukasa. Everybody was talking about it, obviously, you know, leaving there. Everybody wished it happened this year with COVID. But I had conversations with guys in the U.S., up here in Canada, and it seemed like it came up in every conversation. I think, and I took the stance, you know, with everybody that I talked to, I think for the first time, the Canadians would have had a shot against the guys like Bubba Pollard and those guys who roll in through the back gate. And you know, I honestly think that, you know, heading into next year, with what you guys have learned and how to get around that place at Jukasa, I think for the first time, you guys are have to be a favorite going into it. And I bet that you and your program really wish that that race happened this year.
I would definitely say it would have been amazing to see that happen this year, but unfortunately, that's the way it goes sometimes. You have these uncertain times when we got to play it safe. The Short Track Nationals just wouldn't be the same without the American guys coming and giving us a challenge for it. But I definitely agree with that. I think we've figured out a passage, and these McCall Racing chassis are going to be a threat next year when it comes time.
We're with Joe Lawrence tonight. He is the official APC champion for 2020, and he's with us on the hotline. We're talking about last night when the championship was actually taken. Joe, I got a look at the last 75-lap race last night. The Quick 75 to end the season. Had a look at the beginning of the race, and I was kind of wondering how everybody was going to start that second race. And lo and behold, an invert of 15 cars. I went, uh-oh, Joe's got his work cut out for him now. He's going to start all the way back there in 15th, and what a stout field. But, brother, you did it, and you did it in real cool fashion. The battle with you and Pete Sheppard at the end was epic. Take us back to that particular moment. That must have felt pretty good.
Definitely. Like you said, the invert was a very interesting one. And, you know, we played our cards right, and we had a little luck go our way, and we found ourselves up front pretty quickly. A little three-wide battle for the lead was a ton of fun with Gary and Pete there. Definitely, though, it was great to see Pete coming along. It's a big change from APC to any other season. It just seems like you have to step up your game. So to see Pete come along so quick in just the short five-race season we had, it just shows a lot as a driver and a team for those guys there. And that was just a fun battle. Just a great time all the way around there.
So do you lament in this APC Series Championship now? Do you put a fork in it? You're done? Or are we going to load up and head to Flamborough Speedway one last time for 2020 and go after Frostoberfest and grab some of Mikey's dough?
Well, that's not totally up to me. I got to talk to some guys here and see what we got going on. It would be great, too. I'd love supporting Flamborough and what they do. And what they've been going on this year, it looks like it's shaping up to be an amazing crossover fest for what's going on. But whether it's late model, super stock, or bone stock, we'll have something there in some sort of force.
Well, that'll be cool. Yeah, don't forget your long johns. You just may need them for the first time in 2020. It's going to be chilly, but it should be clear. That's good news, Joe.
That's for sure. Wouldn't expect anything less from Frostoberfest.
You want to believe it. Buddy, congratulations on the championship. Congratulations on all the success that you've had with that number 78. Pennzoil's got to be ecstatic with what you've done this year. And thanks so much for your time tonight on Race Time and all throughout the course of the season. We genuinely appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
You betcha. Joe Lawrence, he did it. 2020 champion. Didn't think I'd be saying that, Junior, at the beginning of the year, but look at that. We got a champion.
For the first time ever. Now, this is going to sound funny, but for the first time ever, the champion's going to instantly sell the trophy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The trophy, really, for
the
season.
Did you see the size of that trophy?
No, but the trophy for the season, he's not going to sell that one. That one's going to sit up on a mantle somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But the main thing that you get for winning the championship this year, of course, it's a shortened season, you know, different rules, different things apply, you know, on the payout structure, but the championship, you know, the champion of the series gets a brand new Van Dorn racing chassis.
Oh, beautiful.
Joe Lawrence is Mr. McCall.
Yeah,
like that
sure
is. I mean, he's you know, it is you know, pretty comical. We had that conversation lots at the racetrack last night. You know, it's you know, for the first time the guy is going to sell the big check instantly. You know, just simply because of the relationship that they have with McCall and hats off to Van Dorn Chassis for donating that chassis to the winner and you know, it was something that everybody wanted. So
yeah,
it's a great deal.
Trust me, Mike McCall will want his hands on that chassis to find out what his competition
Johnny,
is doing.
Johnny, if you're listening, it's going to Mike.
Yeah. Don't worry, Johnny, you'll know. Let's go back to the hotline, shall we? And off to Canada's East Coast. It was a huge, huge night at Riverside International Speedway. Finally, a Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour race hit the track. It took until September to do it, but the stars all aligned, and it was the Tormont Cat 150. And our next guest happened to go to Victory Lane, his first Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Series win. And I'll tell you, a real ecstatic 08. We got Nicholas Noggle with us. What's going on, Nick? How you doing?
Good, boys. How about yourselves?
Fantastic, man. Congratulations on a huge, huge win for you at Riverside. That must have felt tremendous.
Oh, yeah, no, it was definitely the push that me and my team needed. We've been looking for that one for a long time.
Well, well-deserved, too, I might add. And what a torrid pace you guys set. A 150-lap race. They dropped the green flag. You guys go green for the first 136 laps of that race. I didn't think the caution was ever going to come out.
Yeah, no, that was going through my head the whole time. It was like, I'm hoping we'll get a couple short runs and kind of reposition ourselves and get going. And then that first run just never ended up stopping. I was thinking around lap 136, man, I hope this just goes through now. We're kind of steady where we were at, but I'm definitely glad that caution came out.
Yeah, give yourself a little bit of a break. You know, I was listening into the broadcast. Tim Terry, along with Dylan Langell, did a fantastic job live from Riverside on timscorner.ca, listening into it, and I was interested to find out what the interval was between you and second place, running in second, the number 53 of Cole Butcher. You knew he was going to be coming. And by the sounds of it, I guess, I don't know whether it was Tim or Dylan, had their eye on the scoring monitor to find out what that interval was doing. And sure enough, towards that time where the caution was coming out, the 53 was actually starting to lose a little bit of time in between you two. It sounded like the 08 was checking out.
Yeah, no, we were running third most of that race. I was sitting behind Cole, and I just kind of let him and Proud get out there and start wearing their stuff out, and was just waiting for something to happen. And luckily, when it did come out, it got us up there on that outside line, and we were able to make the pass happen on the first lap.
Well, and we got to congratulate Greg Proud as well. Driver of the number 29, the big red Dodge. I'll tell you what, that guy comes loaded for bear every time from PEI when he rolls into Riverside. And sounds like he had a decent piece underneath him yesterday. Sound like a lot of guys were real fast.
Yeah, it was definitely a tough field. Greg got out there and he got out front early and he led a bunch of the race. And he used his stuff up, unfortunately.
Or fortunately for you, one or the other, right?
Exactly.
Nick, you've been working hard. Your team, you know, has shown that they not only they want to be competitive everywhere you go, but you've shown that you want to, you know, grow within the industry. You want to, you want to become, a staple in super late model racing. You travel down south, you go to the big shows, you go to races at like Hickory Speedway, and you come over to Ontario, you travel around a lot. Obviously, you get a lot of cool moments, right? You get a lot of cool moments in racing. Does it take the cake winning for the first time in the Pro Stock Tour? Is that like the coolest thing that's happened so far?
Yeah, I mean, my team works hard for everything, and we've been working hard all summer. We started the year with our first win in the late model at the New Smyrna Speed Weeks. That was pretty cool, I'm not going to lie. And then to be able to finish the year off with a win on home soil, that was the big one for me. I've been waiting a long time to win here, and especially at Riverside. That's where I wanted to get it done.
Well, the monkey is definitely off your back, brother. And the questions now, Tim or myself or Jerry Paxton, we're never going to be able to say, well, Nick, when's that first win coming? You answered that question quite handsomely just last night.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a big one for me and my team. I'm not going to lie. Those boys put in hours of work and tons of dedication week after week. And I'm so glad we were able to get it all as a team.
Well, and it's teamwork that does it. Hey, I got a text from Donald Chisholm, of course, Riverside International Speedway. He said, Joe, do me a favor, congratulate Nick for me. I never got a chance to do that yesterday. I believe Donald also finished on the podium, came home with the third place finish in that 89 Nova Celtic Ford. But he said, do me a favor and let Nick know. Congratulations. It's huge.
That's awesome. I really appreciate hearing that from Donald. That means a lot. He had a real good pair there yesterday, too, and he was coming hard. And just we all kind of started to run out of laps there at the end, and we have to make it work.
Yeah, I guess so. All those training hours that you have done probably paid huge dividends. What's it like to keep your focus, your concentration, hitting the marks, doing everything you need to do to stay out front for 136 green flag laps on a short track? What's that like?
Well, that's the thing. We race all around. We race with a bunch of different people. We've kind of raced about with everything, and it definitely has helped me over the years learn to just stay calm, save gear, the stuff that I wasn't doing when I was a little bit younger in the sport. It's just it's definitely a lot of concentration and a lot of focus on doing the same thing repeatedly. And honestly, I feel like we've come a long way in that aspect and got a lot more mature in it.
Now, talking about becoming more mature, we're going to go the opposite way with this question, but how big was the party last night? I mean, when cool things happen to you East Coasters, it seems like there's a lot of big stuff that happens after. What was the party like?
Luckily last night the race managed to end around 6 o'clock, so we had plenty of time to party last night, and there was a good party going on for most of the evening.
I heard your spotter, it took a couple years off his life last night, and he said his liver was a little mad at him, but it seemed like you guys had a good time.
As
but
long as the liver, as long as the liver light didn't go on, he's all set.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I know he started the night on crutches. I don't quite know if he finished it. He was definitely enjoying it.
He's probably on a scooter now.
Yeah, no, he wasn't enjoying it as much as the rest of us. I mean, we all definitely worked hard for this one.
Excellent job, Nick. So what's happening for you now? Is there any other races on your radar? Are you going to just sort of pack that baby away and get it ready for Speed Weeks 2021?
Well, that's just it. There's nothing really happening on home floor right now, so we're kind of dead in the water waiting to hear when this border opens back up, and we'll be right back down south racing with all the boys.
Well, I can guarantee you Race Time Radio will be along with you and keep our eye firmly planted on you, bud, as we always have been. You are one of those guys that absolutely everyone in Canada needs to take note. Nicholas Noggle, you are the real deal. You are a Parts for Trucks winner, and you did it at one of the toughest tracks in all of Canada, Riverside International Speedway. Give those sponsors a hit. I know they mean a ton.
Yeah, no, I got to thank all my sponsors. I got to thank Broadcom Construction, Mobile One. I got to thank Final Effects. I mean, all the boys, they let me do what I love week after week. And then anything, I got to have to thank my parents and my crew. I mean, they're the guys that make it happen. They're the ones that put the hours in. They're the reason we all get to do what we enjoy.
Well, you did it awesome, my friend. Congratulations on the Dormont Cat 150 win at Riverside. I know I can't wait to get back with you guys in 2021 out there on Canada's East Coast, and we'll bring absolutely everybody all the flag-to-flag action. That one there last night, that was dynamite. Tim and Dylan did a masterful job with that broadcast. Dynamite job, buddy. Just can't thank you enough for your time tonight on Race Time.
Yes, thank you, boys. I appreciate the call. I appreciate being on the show. You guys do an awesome job.
Thanks so much. That is Nicholas Noggle, driver of the 08, the winner of the Tourmalet Cat 150 at Riverside. One and done for Riverside, at least now, Junior. You never know. There could be something else coming. We don't know.
Yeah, with the counts going up, you know, kind of across Canada and all the stuff that's happening, I think that everybody's season is basically, you know, done for now. You know, on the additional side, you know, adding races. The races that are scheduled all seem to be, you know, in firm place of getting in. I don't foresee anybody adding anything or adding anything to the schedule. But that being said, you know, Nicholas Noggle, I say it all the time on this program. If you want to become the best, you need to go and beat the best. And you're going to get your butt kicked on the way to doing that. And in order to get good, you got to go through those butt kickings. And, you know, Noggle and his team have went down searching for a butt kicking, you know, at some of the biggest races out there.
Oh, yeah.
And that is going to be the start of a big run, I think. You know, when you look at, mm-hmm. at where Noggle's at, where their program's at, getting that first win in the Tour, you know, I wouldn't doubt that this is going to be the start of something big out of that Noggle camp. And I would actually bet on that. I think that you're going to see Noggle in Victory Lane numerous times in 2021. And on both sides of the border, I think that, you know, their program has grown huge, and you know, they've got really good people in place. They've got, you know, great relationships that they've cultivated down in the U.S. And here in Canada. But when you look at, you know, getting that monkey off your back, that momentum means everything.
Sure, and, it does. It validates the team.
It does everything. And look at the run that Joe Lawrence just went on, mm-hmm. right? It's the same deal. You get that monkey off your back, get your first win, and then you go on a tear. And that momentum carries you to all your success. He didn't fluke into that win last night.
Oh, God, no.
He drove the wheels off that thing. And he's been in the hunt in virtually every race that he's been in 2020. They've had bad luck, which happens. But, you know, you've got lots of stuff coming down the pipeline. And I think that I know that Nicholas Noggle is going to go on a tear here.
Oh, 136 green flag laps of a 150. The race only had one caution. Think about that for a minute while we hit break. 150-lap race, one yellow. the first from the time they dropped the green flag to lap 136, all green flag laps.
Yeah, and that's
nuts.
It's driving your butt off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to remain in that top five at any racetrack for 136 green flag laps, you're driving the wheels off that race car. And you know, the few people that I talked to today that were actually at the race, they said that same thing. The kid saved his stuff and you know, was able to maintain pace and mm-hmm. maintain track position. And you know, obviously, there was a little bit of attrition with the 53 car getting into the five. And
yes.
That the change in the outcome to a certain degree, because I imagine Butcher would have been saving his stuff and would have been there at the end
right.
had that not happened. Mm. But that being said, you got to be in place. And it sounded like the 08 was not just pressure in the 53, what was pressure in the entire field, and still saving the stuff. So, yeah, hats off, man. I'm really happy to see him finally hit victory lane. The kid is going to go on to do great things in this sport.
Well, we also want to put a shout out to Jeffrey Breen. He won the sportsman race on the weekend out there at Riverside. We're going to reach out to Jeffrey and get him on the program next week, and we'll find out exactly how his day all unfolded. But we do have to hit a break. When we come back, how about a crafty veteran here in Canadian racing? We got Wayne Keeling going to join us. He's getting back into a car, and he's going to do it next weekend at Frostoberfest. We're going to be there live. We're going to talk to Wayne Keeling next, live tonight on Racetime Radio. Stay with us.
This is Dave McCullough, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is fired up by QuickWick Fire Starters. Available online at QuickWick.com. That's QuickWick, QWICKWICK.com. Use promo code RTR on your next purchase and save.
RevTV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. RevTV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. QuickWick Fire Starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. QuickWick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian, and so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com, enter promo code RTR, and save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
Wow. It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how. Racetime Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
You know you got to do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoberfest 2020.
Clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's bring this home.
Right here on RacetimeRadio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey, baby.
Hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh,
concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
So celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race time radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Let's get right back to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in a crafty veteran. When you say the name Junior Hanley and Don Biederman, and, the list goes on and on. Those are the names in super late model racing that, if you're an old guy like me, that's the stuff we all grew up on. And I can tell you right now, another big name that fits right in with those guys is Wayne Keeling, and everybody has heard Wayne Keeling's name over the years, probably watched him in some of his super late model races. He did a lot of winning back in the day, and he's hoping to win one more this coming weekend at Frostoberfest. He joins us on the hotline right now. I got to tell you, Wayne, it's an honor to have you with us on Race Time. Good evening, and how are you?
I'm fine, and you're way too kind, but thanks anyway. And how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Wayne, I got to tell you, I am a huge Wayne Keeling fan, and I have been for a lot of years. So I'll tell you a little history on me before I ever got tied up in this game. I was a fan at Flamborough Speedway with my bud in those grandstands from the time I was probably 8-10 years old. And I can remember watching you in your iconic super late model. And I can actually remember your car, Wayne, when it had John Thompson Moving and Storage on it. What year was that?
Okay, the first year I drove for John was 1978. And he was a great sponsor. And Bob Clements owned that car. And how I got that ride was through Donnie Reinhardt, who's a lifelong friend. And to get that ride, it was I never dreamed I'd be able to get something like that. And it's a funny story. When I pulled on the track, my foot was shaking on the clutch pedal up and down because I didn't want to screw this deal up.
Well, I'll tell you what, you went on to have a very, very lucrative short track career. And Junior said to me last week on this show, hey, did you hear Wayne Keeling's going to be back out there? I said, no way. He said, oh, yeah, he's going to be out there at Flamborough. I said, well, that's it, Junior. I don't know how you know that. But however you found that out, we need to get Wayne on this show. I would look forward to the day, and look at this. We got you on here. Tell us about next weekend, bud. What do you got all cooking?
We tested today at Flamborough, and that went really well. Put two hot lap sessions on and found out a few things were wrong, and we can correct this. We had the car out of Delaware about a month ago. Wasn't real happy with it. We just a shakedown. Everything mechanically worked, but it wasn't the setup. The pro late models are a lot different than what the super lates I used to run, or even they're very much more like the cast car. They're a momentum car. You got to keep the speed up through the ends. Mm-hmm. And, it's tough out there now because I watch these guys and the lap times they turn at Flamborough are pretty spectacular. And I'm just hoping I can be as fast as I used to be, and they're not as faster than what I used to be.
That's right.
Well, 100%. But I guarantee if there's a track that you, Wayne Keeling, could fly around blindfolded, it would be Flamborough Speedway. I've seen you many nights go to Victory Lane at that track.
You know what? It felt great to be out there today. The car felt really good out there. Had a little bit of a brake issue. We fixed it temporarily. It needs a new master cylinder on it, but I'm glad we shook it down today out there. And the few people were there said it looked really good, and I was happy with the car. It was still nice and smooth, and it felt like I'd just done it last week.
Isn't that funny how that works? It's just like riding a bike, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what people keep telling me. And, the whole program, this is the old Corvette car Mike Kerniak was driving, and we literally stripped it down to almost nothing and rebuilt it. We changed springs, sway bars, shocks, the motor. We took the motor to Gary Leach, and we're trying to do everything right. The only disadvantage will be, and I'm not making excuses, but we have a 602 motor in it instead of a 604. The reason we ran the 602, we were going to run this car at Delaware on Saturday nights. Well, with COVID, you know what happened there.
Right.
But with at Delaware, we can run the car 185 pounds lighter than a 604, and that's the program we were aiming at. And, of course, that didn't happen. We contemplated running an APC race, but the shocks that we have aren't legal for what APC run. By the way, that's an awesome series and very competitive. And this race at Flamborough next week, I think there'll be a lot of APC guys there. Luke Ramsey, the head of APC, has offered a $100 incentive to any APC car that's ran the series to run there next week. So,
how about that? That guy just continues to try and do whatever he can to make sure that we all get a chance to see a superior show, doesn't he?
He's done a great job. And Luke's a friend of mine. I've golfed with him. He's, you know what? He's just a super ambitious guy. You know, he's put a great series together. I compare it to the old ASA series. Like, it's well-organized, well-run. The rules are strict. That's just a great deal. And we could run an APC car. Maybe we'll get a 604 for next year and maybe run a few APC races. We haven't looked that far ahead, but anything's possible. And then Donald Jr., Reinhardt, took the car up, and he looked really smooth out there. You know, like, he'd never raced that type of car before, and I think he had a lot of fun out there and ran about 10 laps, and we're pretty much ready for next week. I think it's going to be a good show there, and it's, you know, years ago, it used to be called the Oktoberfest, not the Frost Fest, but I did win it one year, so it's kind of a race, a little bit of history to me. I want to be in it. I've run it several times, went to the Oktoberfest years ago, but
those were triple 50s, right, Wayne?
No, it was twin. Actually, the year that I won it was just a 100 lapper.
Okay.
I did win, and when it was twin 75s, I won the 175.
Yeah.
But they got rained out. It started raining, and we never did run the other 75. But
so well, you won that year, too.
And Larry Knott, where we built the car and, at his shop this year, Rob Clark drove for him one year and won the Oktoberfest. So he's got quite a history with that race, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, you know, Junior, you know what? You missed the days, I'll tell you. You weren't born yet, but I'll tell you. The Crawlinator Triple 50 nights at Flamborough Speedway back in the day, Wayne was in his prime. Junior was in his prime. Biederman was there. All the
John
big
Thompson.
Names. Oh,
yeah,
like it was just unreal watching these guys on the racetrack. There was no such thing as laying back and saving stuff, was there, Wayne?
No, we called it triple trouble. But, you know, it was a great program, a great format. You know, they'd reverse the starting field. If you finish on the lead lap, if you won the one race, you'd be starting 12th or 13th in the next race. So that type of format. Ducasse had that last night with their second 75 with the APC show.
Yep.
But people like to see passing. You know, it's good as a racer to start up front and just drive away, but for the fans' sake, it's nice to see passing.
Absolutely. It's way more exciting. Talking to, you know, with Bubba, with Don Jr., you know, through the entire process, you guys, like you mentioned, you stripped the car down, you rebuilt it from the frame up, and really built a beautiful looking race car, nice teal blue and white, number 82. It's a gorgeous race car. You guys did a wonderful job, but I am curious. Like, obviously, you've been involved in the sport for a long time, but are you noticing anything, you know, that's kind of mind blowing or anything that's really intriguing with the technology that's out there today versus the last time that you raced competitively?
Oh, for sure. Like back in the day when we raced, well, not to get too technical, but we'd run a 1100 right front spring and 700 or 800 left front. Now we got 500 and a 515 in the front of the car. The shocks that we used to run at the front are now at the back or almost at the front, and vice versa. And with the crate motor, it's a real momentum, and the corner speed's a lot faster than what it used to be. I found that out today. You don't have that instant acceleration off the turn, so you really have to keep your momentum up through the turn.
Yep.
As I tell you, I've never had power steering. The power steering's nice.
Yeah, that's going to feel
different.
Back in the day,
we didn't have power steering or containment seats or, you know, it was physically demanding back in the day, and I probably ran about 30 laps today and never broke a sweat.
Yeah.
That's too cool.
Incredible. Wayne, this is going to be off the chip this coming weekend. We are going to have live flag-to-flag coverage on Racetime Radio, right on our live stream at racetimeradio.com. I can't wait to see you inside this car. I can't wait to get that green flag in the air. We will have live coverage the whole day. Starting at 3 p.m. Eastern, live from Flamborough Speedway. This has been great catching up with you, and I know we look forward to getting your comments after practice and after the race guaranteed, Wayne. I look forward to it. It's going to be off the hook.
Okay, sounds great.
Hey, also, Don Sr. is going to be spotting for him.
Is he?
Which is cool. That's,
wow.
Talking to Donnie, that's, you know, he mentioned that as well. That's going to be pretty cool to get you two back on the radio. I wish I could listen in. Obviously, you're going to be spotting, you know, for a different car while you guys are on the track. But that, I imagine you guys are going to have a lot of fun on the radio, too.
Oh, it'll be cool. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's been 20 years since being behind the wheel of a car, and actually, you know, we were towing back from the Oxford 250 in Maine and got wrecked in the heat race qualifying, and 14-hour tow back, and I thought, I just don't want to do this anymore. But over the last couple of years, you know what, I wouldn't mind giving this a try. I've kept myself in shape, and you know what, the help has been amazing. Like Mike McCall is telling me, anything you need to know, Wayne, you got it. Sam Woods has helped, who used to help Junior a lot on his race cars. Larry Knott, of course. Rob and Austin Rose. Austin's quite an accomplished microsprint driver, stepping up to the crates for next year and the dirt. And you know, racing, it, to me, it's like a family too. Like, you go to the track, that's where my friends are. It's just, it's awesome to be there. And the reception, even today, the few people who are there, just happy to be there. I was happy to be there, and they seemed happy I was there. So it's been awesome.
Absolutely. You know, Wayne, the Eagles got back together, you know, back in the day. And when they got back together, they were amazed at how many fans came out and bought tickets to see the Eagles again. Bud, you're putting the band back together, and it's going to come back on track this coming Saturday. That's huge. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. You can bet Robbie Thompson's going to be tuned in from that East Coast, too. He'll want to know exactly what you're doing.
Robbie will be there, yep. You're listening for sure. And, he had quite an accomplished career of his own when he raced. And you know what? I'm sure back of his mind, he's probably thinking, maybe I could do that too, right?
You can guarantee it. Wayne, this is going to be cool. You have a good night, and thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. Get lots of sleep.
Thanks for your time.
You want to believe it. Wayne Keeling, he's going to be back behind the wheel. It's all going to be live on Race Time. Quick break. When we come back, off to Sun Peaks, B.C., we got Jason White coming up.
You don't get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, but I do.
From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quickwick, they work.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa Know-How. Racetime Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
You know you gotta do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoberfest 2020.
Clear, clear, clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's bring this home.
Right here on RacetimeRadio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talk. So glad you jumped on here with us. What do you say we get back to the hotline, go all the way back out to Sun Peaks, BC, and bring in a great friend of Racetime Radio. We got Mr. Jason White with us. What's going on there, Jay? I haven't talked to you in a couple months. How's it going?
Good, Joe and Joe. How are you guys?
I talked to you a couple weeks ago, so I... You've missed them. I haven't.
You got up on.
I got enough Jason time over at Jukasa.
Well, you're lucky. I got up with Jason there, 2 years ago at Jukasa when you were piloting one of those Pindy's cars. But I haven't seen you in a little bit. You got lots happening, though, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, for sure. Just finished watching the final NASCAR Pindy's Fan Cave Challenge and watched that race and showed kind of how good we could be once in a while and showed some speed in the car. So just finished watching that and just been on the simulator as much as possible at Talladega in the truck series on the simulator.
Ah, that's going to come in real handy because you're going to jump back aboard, aren't you?
Yeah, you bet. We've been working really hard to get things lined up here to get down to Talladega and run the Ruin Brothers racing truck again, same truck that we ran at Daytona. Got out of the truck with not a scratch on it, so they put her in the box and did the maintenance on it and had some time to work on the aero and change the gear, and they're going to bring it back down for me to Talladega, and we're going to lock and load and see how it goes.
Now, refresh my memory. Daytona was a hell of a run for you. You came away with a decent finish in that race.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we couldn't have scripted a better, you know, story for Daytona Speed Weeks last February. You know, finishing sixth in the Fast Track Andy Hillenberg Racing Arca Menards car, and then the next week backing it up with the top 10 in the truck. And, you know, it's common knowledge that, you know, Raymond Brothers Racing doesn't have the best equipment in the world. You know, you got Kyle Busch Motorsports and ThorSport and GMS and Nice and you know, you're up against some pretty stout equipment and drivers, obviously, and teams. So to be able to have the patience and just have the truck to be able to keep up for the whole race and just wait for attrition to happen and basically keep learning for me as a driver, just learn and learn every lap you can learn. And that's what we're going to be doing next week. We're going to get in the no practice, no qualifying, never been to Talladega in my life, just watched Ricky Bobby and been on my simulator as much as I can, and we're going to lock and load and drop the green. So she's going to be pretty interesting.
Well, there's no reset button when you get out there. Just keep that in mind. I know everybody through COVID, all the COVID racers, you know, figured that out when they got back to the racetrack for the first time back in July up here. But definitely, you know, you and I had a conversation, Jay, about that very thing. You're not adverse to having little practice time. The last couple times, you know, you didn't have a whole lot of practice time at Daytona, but you've never been to Talladega. Obviously, you know, spending time on the simulator, you know the racetrack, you know what to expect from a restrictor plate race. But what does that do to the nerves to a driver when there is no practice time and you're heading into a big race?
Well, I mean, anybody would tell you that it's going to be definitely very nerve-wracking. But I'm confident in the team.
I'm confident. And once I get going, I mean, like you said, back in Daytona, we had a lot of trouble getting through tech. So technically, I had 3 laps of practice before I started the race.
Exactly.
In February. And, you know, I spent the first half of the race, basically, that was my practicing session. Even the first 2/3 of the race, and just staying on the lead lap. I had some really good drivers and teams that we planned to work with, you know, Spencer Boyd and Natalie Decker and my teammates there. We stayed nose to tail with 4 or 5 of us. And that's going to be the key is, you know, just maybe drop back a little bit, make sure you stay nose to tail and just stay on that lead lap. And that's going to be the key. But, you know, it's funny. A lot of people don't quite understand what the iRacing simulator is all about, but it really is so realistic. I mean, obviously there's no feel other than the force feedback and the steering wheel and stuff, but one thing that I've been doing a lot of is getting onto pit road. I'm not going to get to practice at speed getting onto pit road. So I've been doing that a lot on the simulator. A lot of vision. There's a lot of vision that you can learn of where marks are and things like that. And where, you know, just simple stuff, exit a pit road, how fast you can go on exit. That sort of stuff is extremely realistic in iRacing. So I've just been trying to get as many hours as possible before I leave on Wednesday morning. And, you know, one of the other things is obviously these are crazy times with COVID, and it was really one of the biggest hurdles I had to get through. So I got to do a lot of COVID stuff on the way down and on the way back. I'm really excited that Air Canada's come up with these things where they have a COVID test for us at the Toronto airport and, you know, stuff like that. So that's actually has been the biggest hurdle is how to deal with the traveling and the stuff like that. So other than that, I just can't wait to get locked and loaded and hear my spotter in my ear saying green, green, green.
Yeah, and the cool part is, Jay, you've worked with probably the nucleus of the team that you're going to work with again at Talladega, and that's important, right? You got to have that chemistry.
Yeah, definitely, and I've worked with these guys now for a couple years, and you know, like I said, they're obviously not the best team in the business. It's pretty tough to be at that caliber, but one thing they are is very dedicated, and they're very, you know, Josh is an engineer. He's a mechanical engineer, so he knows his stuff. It's just, you know, once you get out there again on the super speedways, anybody can have a good race on a super speedway if you can just stick with the draft. I mean, we went to a green white checkered at Daytona, and we actually were running out of fuel on the final lap, and it could have even been better, but we were bogging on fuel going down the back straightaway. So we put ourselves in a position as a team, and I did as a driver, to be there at the end. And I've always said that in racing. I mean, you know, you look at the Pinty series and stuff, and people say, oh yeah, 107 races and you've never won a race. Well, if they knew how hard it was to win a race in our series, it's absolutely, it's probably one of the hardest series in North America to win a race in, you know? So, But I always say I have a winning attitude, and that I want to be in a position to put yourself in a position to have a great day. And I think, you know, we just did that a couple weeks ago at Jucasa there and the Pinty's Fan Cave Challenge, and we had a great finish, and I'm going to carry that momentum into Talladega and just be there at the end, hopefully, and keep the fenders on that Chevy Silverado and get your GMCTruckStore.com back up into the top 10 again.
Well, and that's what I love about you, Jay. I've watched you for a lot of years, and you are probably, I'm going to say probably, one of the most, you're one of the best at getting the maximum out of your equipment, and you got to stick around in the race. I've seen you where you got a top 5 car, and you're going to take that top 5 car, and you're going to finish in the top 5. You're not going to try and win the race with a car that's going to finish in the top 5. You're going to hang out, and you're going to get what the car will give you today. And that's the cool part. But, Jay, listen, we are right at the top of the hour. I got to throw it back to Toronto for 90 seconds to do a news highlight, and then we're going to come back for hour 2. Can I get you just to hang out? I got a raft more questions for you. That's
no
perfect.
Problem,
okay, Jason White's going to stay with us. And, Jay, you may not hear nothing here because you're on the hotline. Okay. But trust me, we will get back to you in 90 seconds. Jason White with us. We are going to throw it back to Toronto for that news highlight. And then we're coming back for hour 2. And we are going to have Jason White with us on the other side.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on SiriusXM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight on Race Time Radio. Welcome aboard if you're just tuned in now. We are on the hotline with Jason White from Sun Peaks, BC. He just let us know moments ago he's going to strap back into one of those beautiful Gander Truck Series machines, and he's going to be at Talladega. So now count them up. We got three Canadians going to be in the field that we know of. The 52, of course, Stu Friesen, in there each and every week, along with the four of Lazard, Raphael Lazard, and now Jason White going to be in that field. Jay, the preparations all begin. What did you say? Wednesday you fly out and get to Talladega?
Yeah, well, actually Wednesday I go to Toronto and fly to Toronto. I get a COVID test. And then all being well, we carry on the next morning to Atlanta and then drive to Talladega. You know, and like I was saying earlier, I'm just really impressed with NASCAR. You know, we're following all the guidelines that Drug-Free Sport America has set out, and that means, you know, all professional sports, NASCAR and NHL, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, all that stuff. We have to follow these guidelines very strictly just in order to be able to do what we do. You know, it's very unfortunate that the fans can't be at the races, but at least we can get on the track and perform, and, you know, they can watch on TSN for the Pinty Series, and they can watch on Fox Sports 1 next Saturday. So, you know, just really impressed that they're concerned about the safety of the drivers and the team and the officials. And they're taking it very seriously, which they should. And, you know, like I said earlier, that's been one of the biggest hurdles for me to get through all of this. You know, usually you book a flight, you get a hotel room, you get a rental car, you show up at the track and you put your helmet on and you go race. But there's been a lot of hurdles here that we've had to get through. And, you know, I'm really grateful that it's all worked out. And, you know, I'm not sure how many more opportunities like this are going to come along, you know. So I got to take it while it's here and grab the bull by the horns and go down there and see what we can do.
If it was easy, everybody be trying it, Jay White. And you're the guy doing it. You'll be in the truck number now, 33 or 32?
31? So, no, we haven't figured that out yet. It's either 33 or 00, one of those two. But it's all going to come down to points. We're in the show for sure. Everybody's in the show, but I don't know if it's going to be in the 33 or 00 yet. I'll find that out on Tuesday. 2 days from now, we'll find that out. So, but definitely Rayon Brothers Racing, and it's definitely the same truck I was in Daytona, which is comforting for me. I've felt really good in that truck, and at the end, I'll never forget it. You know, the green-white checker, we dropped the green, and you know, I was racing with Jordan Anderson all race, and Jordan ended up second. And I had him covered a lot of the race. So it's just how the cards fall, you know, on super speedways. You can be like Brendan Gaughan sitting around at the end, and all of a sudden you're up front there, you know.
Yeah. And that's the cool part about Talladega, Daytona, any of those restrictor plate races. And even cooler that your butt cheeks are going to fit in that seat and feel like they've been there before, because they have been. How about the actual look of the truck? I heard you mention that you're going to have the Chevy dealership back on there with you. That is a local sponsorship, right, from BC?
It's a long-term relationship I've had with Rob Zimmer forever. We used to own our NASCAR team together, but, you know, along with GMC, he's got the YourGMCTruckStore.com brand. And obviously Powder Ventures Excavating is always a big supporter of mine. And, yeah, we're and then, you know, the team has some sponsorship as well, and then that sort of stuff's going to be released this week, depending on which truck number I get into. There'll be some team sponsorship as well. So, but yeah, it's another go back and get into that same truck with the same livery, and it's going to be very comforting for me that it's you know, hopefully after five laps it feels like I'm at the, you know, same comfort level as I was in Daytona in the truck. So we'll get after it when we can.
How cool is that, Jay? Just a few weeks ago, we had the Canada 200 live from Western Speedway right across Canada on Rev TV, and it was carried on checks out there in Victoria. It was kind of cool. That's one of those racetracks that I believe you cut your teeth on. They run super modifieds. Your dad used to race there. One of those iconic tracks. It was kind of cool that the rest of Canada finally got a glimpse of where you started.
Yeah, I have more along the lines of being a young kid learning how marketing works and stuff like that when we raced super modified there years ago. I've only raced there a couple times, but you know, it's funny because back to the iRacing, I was in an iRacing league through the heart of COVID here through March, April, and May with all the guys from the Victoria area. You know, like Gary Smith, Roy Smith's son, and you know, I always idolized his dad, Roy. And And, you know, we all were in a league together, and Cole Sorensen and, Cody Brown put together this league, and, we had a lot of fun there. So I got to know a lot of those guys through iRacing and the simulator. And, yeah, I mean, it was great for them to put that race on. I mean, have the Canada 200. It was really, I think, the only real racing that weekend or, you know, anything at any sort of, capacity or anything. So, and it was good for all those guys to get out and race too, because they've been chomping at the bit and polishing their cars 100 times, and they did wreck a lot of stuff, but it was a good race for sure.
Yeah, it sure was. And a good building block for the future. I know we've got one of those guys going to join us on the show here in a couple of weeks. Cole, one of the announcers. We're going to reach out and grab him, get him on the show. He did a great job in that broadcast, and it was just kind of cool. When I seen that race, first person I thought of was actually you, and I thought, wow, Jay was on this track at one point. How cool is this from BC? But I'll tell you what, Talladega is going to be real exciting, and you're going to be in a truck. Three Canadians in the field. Have you talked with Stu or Raphael? Are those two kind of guys that you're going to be working with at Talladega? Or are you guys going to be, you know, sort of staying in your own corners, so to speak?
You know what? Those guys are in top-notch equipment, and they're in a different world. Usually they get right after it, right off the drop of the green, and they're getting up there, and they're mixing it up in the top 15 or top 20, and I'm going to be looking at, just like I said, staying on the lead lap and working with a couple other trucks and drivers that are on the same agenda. And I'm probably going to be in a different time zone as they are for the first half to two thirds of the race. That's just the reality of it. You know, they're in spaceships, so to speak. And we're in, you know, stuff that's not quite as elaborate and modern as they are. So it's a little bit different, but you know, I ended up, in Daytona, the top finishing Canadian just by being patient and smart. So, you know, I always enjoy Stewart's advice. I'll definitely try and get his ear for a little bit on Friday or Saturday, and see if he's got any advice for me or what have you. And just being around Raphael is always awesome. That kid is just oozing talent, and he's the next big thing coming out of Canada, in my opinion. So I'll probably confide in them a little bit, but I'm going to be on my own agenda for sure.
Yeah, Stewie's advice, I can hear it now. Jay, when the 52 comes up, let me buy. That's the best advice.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, for sure,
You know, one thing that doesn't get talked about a whole lot, you know, through the broadcast, they talk about deals being put together during the race, you know, where you know, this guy's going to go with this guy or you know, this guy is not going to work with this person anymore. You know, you hear that through the broadcast, but you don't hear about the political backstory, you know, kind of away from the racetrack. There's a lot of mingling that goes on where you're just trying to make friends, you know, in the garage. You're trying to, you know, basically, you know, have the other person know who's in that truck, right? There's a lot of there's a lot of, you know, introductions and introducing yourself and, you know, whether it be in driver intros or whether it be, you know, in the garage area, walking over to them and saying, hey, I'm Jason White and I drive the 33 truck, just so you know, those types of things. There's a lot of, you know, there's going to be a lot missing going into Talladega. And I think this is the first restrictor plate outing for the truck series. I could be wrong, but is this the first restrictor plate
Daytona?
Since Daytona?
Yeah, since
so,
Daytona.
So,
yeah,
it is. So since the COVID, you know, since, you know, everything with COVID, there's not a whole lot of interaction between the drivers now. You basically get to the racetrack, walk directly to your truck and go racing. You're not spending a whole lot of time with the mingling and stuff like that and you know, chatting it up with the other drivers. How do you attack that? Do you make the phone calls? Do you talk to some guys heading into it, you know, via phone and text and things like that, like just to try to inspire and get some you know, knowledge that you're going to be out there, and then hopefully you guys can work together?
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, because a couple years ago when I went to Daytona for the first time, like, I couldn't even get someone to work with me in practice.
Exactly.
It was like you were the COVID plague.
Exactly.
And nobody wanted to work with you.
Everybody was playing keep away. You know,
yeah, exactly. And then we had a good run there, and then we come back, you know, this past February, and we had two good runs. And you know, I worked with a couple of people, like Spencer Boyd for one. He's very talented. He's won some races and stuff. And my spotter, Randy Bradshaw, is extremely experienced, and he was great for me. He was a great driver coach for me, and he was extremely experienced. And he was up working his butt off trying to get people to work with me. And then when we finally got, you know, five or six trucks nose to tail, and just tell everybody, don't break out of line. And if you're starting to heat up, let the spotter know. The spotter will go to the other spotters and say, hey, we need to sneak out a little bit, or we need to lead this pack of five for a little bit to cool the engine down. There's all that sort of communication happens up on the spotter stand. And as you know better than anybody, Joe, that's one of the most important keys, especially in restrictor plate racing or super speedway racing, is the communication that's happening up there and how fast it's happening. You know, I remember with like 15 to go, and I've been, you know, Randy's coaching me to be very patient, be patient, be patient. And then sure enough, you know, there's four laps to go, and I'm like, oh yeah, great. You know, the time, the year that I'm here and I got a good truck, there's no caution. And then sure enough, with two to go, just right before we took the two to go, the caution comes out, and here we are in a green, white checkered situation. So, you know, it's just a matter of, yeah, just getting a couple people together, and they got to be, they got to understand that it's just, and it happens in sim racing too. I mean, just get nose to tail and be patient and lock and load, and just don't bump the guy in front of you too hard. Just stay in a line and get your momentum going and let the draft start carrying you along, and you will stay on the lead lap that way. So, yeah, we'll be talking to a few people. I know Josh has been talking already. Josh is going to be in the race as well. So, you know, I definitely got one partner. And we've been working and talking to a couple others, so we'll probably have five or six that cool. are going to go nose to tail and should be pretty fast.
Well, Jason White, I can tell you, the rest of Canada, all of us up here are going to be pinned to the television in that truck series flying around Talladega, and you're going to give us another reason to watch that race. It's going to be exciting, I can guarantee that. If you've got time next week, love to get your comments when you get out of that truck and sort of review it. Go over it and find out how things went for you.
All right. If everything goes well, I'll be back in Toronto on Sunday night. So maybe I'll reach out to you guys with some good news and some celebratory talk, and we'll go from there.
Wouldn't that be cool? Let's do that, Jay. Let's make a date right now. Let's lock and load that one in. Good luck in that truck. Don't worry, man. The rest of Canada's with you. I hope you don't mind. It's going to get a little cramped in there.
Yeah, you bet, man. And all I'm thinking is shake and bake, baby.
Good stuff. And fans can follow you along. You hit up the social media so they know where to find you.
Yeah, you guys know. I'll be letting everybody know what's going on through Twitter, Racing Jason White, and Instagram and Facebook, all that stuff. So follow along. I'll be doing some Facebook Lives And this time I'm going to even do some of the travel. I'm going to show everybody what it's like to get through all the COVID stuff and what the actual challenges are outside of the, you know, racing and just getting there and all that is going to be a challenge. So it's going to kind of show everybody what it's been like and what it's going to be like for the week. But, yeah, follow along, and we'll keep everybody posted. And once again, just thanks to the fans. You know, you're right. It's just a shame that we can't have fans in the grandstands. But, you know, it's showing that how important television is to keep watching on TSN and Fox Sports 1. And we'll keep you entertained as much as we can. And hopefully this crap is over sooner than later and we can get back to reality and just get some fans back in the stands and eating some hot dogs and drinking some beer and cheering for their favorite driver.
Well said, Jason White. Well said. We echo that all the way. Bud, thanks so much for the time tonight. Safe travels, and I know we're going to be watching you all the way through.
Thanks, boys. You guys have a great night.
You betcha. That's Jason White. Watch for him at Talladega. Another reason to tune into those truck races. And we got a little more truck content a little bit later in the show. Hope to play a clip that I've got with Austin Hill. He went to Victory Lane in Vegas, had Canadian sponsorship on that truck with Wayne's Canada all over it. Got a little clip with him if we get enough time. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, how about a first-time winner in his sprint, his dirt crate sprint car? He did it at Merrittville. Alan Downey going to join us next. Don't you go anywhere. We're just getting things fired off. Stay with us.
My name is Ryan Litt, driver of the number 07 Auto Value Super Sprint USAC sprint car, and I'm listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning man.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, son, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
It's the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. Quick fire starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. Quick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian. And so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com. Enter promo code RTR and save up to 20%. And they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Rev TV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. Rev TV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Race Time Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how. Race Time Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
You know you got to do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoverfest 2020.
Clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's bring this home.
Right here on racetimeradio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
Polar Bear bringing us back. Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight live on Sirius XM Channel 167 Canada Talks. Or maybe you're tuned in throughout the course of the week on the Performance Motorsport Network.com. that airs Racetime Radio multiple times. Got to welcome everybody there at Gearhead Country Radio. And, of course, if you missed Racetime Radio and wants to have a listen on your leisure, you can do that. Just go to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. And don't forget to click like and subscribe. You'll never miss it again. What's up?
A little bit of housekeeping. Big win for Gracie Trotter. First female to win an ARCA race out on the West Coast.
Yes, seen that.
Big win for her driving the Ineos number 99. So congratulations to Gracie Trotter and that whole TRD camp.
Yep.
And I have to give three shout-outs.
Okay.
From yesterday at Jucasa. Three standout kind of a tip of the hat to three Superstock guys that blew me away and absolutely, you know, stepped up to the challenge. Ryan Dyson.
Yes.
Came home second place.
Yep.
Obviously, Travis Colliver went to victory lane.
Yep.
Trevor Colliver. Yep. Sorry, Trevor. he went to victory lane. Did a wonderful job. But Ryan Dyson in that 28 car, it was his third ever, I think, Superstock race.
Yep.
In P2 for him. Garrett Tamirsma again.
Yes.
Just,
that,
you know, the top five. Never been to Jucasa. Top five. Great pedigree. That's a name to watch in the sport. And then as well on the modified side, Gary McLean, of course, we're going to talk to two modified guys here coming up, but Gary McLean, you know, in his return to the series, you know, had a great run going with him and Andy Kamrath. We're going to be the show, until he, I think, had a motor expire. I don't know what exactly happened, but, looked like he blew up, but, got to give, you know, credit where credit is due, and Paul Pepper as well.
Yeah. Good run for all those guys. We will catch up with definitely Trevor Culver. I want to get him on the show. We were jam-packed tonight.
Exactly.
We'll reach out to Trevor next week, driver of that number one that went to victory lane. But let's get back to the hotline, shall we, and bring in, how about a guy that won last week? We were jammed up. Couldn't get him on last week, but we do have him on tonight. Went to victory lane in his dirt sprint, his crate car, and he did a masterful job. Let's welcome in Alan Downey with his first crate sprint win. What's going on tonight, Alan? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, we really appreciate the time here on Racetime. I really wanted to grab you last week to get that emotion coming off that win, but not in the cards, buddy. But we do have you tonight. How did this week go? Did you race this week, or were you dark?
I was off. I was off this week. You know, last week I was pretty exhausted, so it was probably best that you didn't get a hold of me. It was just kind of a surreal weekend. We'll get into the story a little bit about why that is, just in the sense that I only started racing a year ago. I've never stepped into a race car until I bought my sprint car a year ago. So it's been a pretty surreal week. It's just starting to sink in now.
Now, were you a big fan leading up to it? Were you a big fan of motorsports? Obviously, you got to be a gearhead to buy a sprint car, number one.
Yeah.
But were you like a massive race fan leading into this deal?
Yeah, I would say definitely love motorsports all around.
Okay.
And appreciate cars. So growing up, I grew up in Waterloo, Ontario. And so when I was younger, my dad would take me, my mom and my dad would take me over to Flamborough, which wasn't too far for us. We'd watch the Enduros and things like that. And then as I got into my teenage years, I started going to Oshkosh and really following that. And the first time I saw a sprint car at Oshkosh, it was over. I fell in love. And I knew that that's where I wanted to kind of be if I ever did get into racing.
Well, talk about jumping into the deep end of the pool right off the bat, bud. You did it, and a sprint car to boot with the first victory. Take us back through that win a week ago Friday.
Yeah, so it's I don't know what to say about it. I've had a lot of help, so it's been an amazing experience. Last year, getting into a sprint car for the very first time, my goal was not to get lapped. And I was trying my best to do that. I learned how to drive a sprint car on iRacing. So you talk to Jason White there, and Jason's talking all about how much sim training has helped him. That's what I did 3 years up to actually jumping into a sprint car, is learning different lines, wrecking a ton of cars and hitting the escape button.
Right.
I think that's all kind of helped in the sense. Last year, you know, my top finish was a seventh, but I was lucky to make an A main. Usually we have 40 cars, 40 plus cars show up on a Friday night at Ashweken, and so it's a tough, it's one of the toughest classes. I know a lot of people say this, but one of the toughest classes in Canada to win in, because we're all in the exact same sealed motor, a 602 crate in a sprint car, and there's 50 of us every week, and so it's a really challenging class. Some great people, but when it came to last week, I've been running really well this year. My first race out, I finished second, which was surreal. We never imagined, as a team, never imagined that would be possible. Not this early. I had another podium the week before that, and then last week everything just kind of came together. The car was working really well. I got some luck on some cautions. I made some mistakes early, but then I ended up leading the race, and the worst thing that could have happened, I was free and clear. I had the race won, and I go into turn three, and the caution comes out. Sets us up for a green-white checkered. It definitely tested my nerves a little bit there, but I was lucky enough to pull it off.
That's the racing gods right there. When you think you have the race won, you never have the race won. So the next time you have a lead like that, just know that there's a caution coming out, and it won't come.
Yeah.
Yeah. you know, it just... I didn't really know what to think. I kind of expected it. I wasn't too shocked or upset by it, let's say. It didn't really rattle me too much. But
well, that's good.
The one thing I will say is that I was a semi-professional lacrosse player in my younger days. And that was something that has really helped me throughout this process. So, yeah, I have zero experience in racing. I do not come from a racing family. I'm a university professor. I'm not mechanically inclined. My dad is a millwright and had worked as a millwright for decades and has really been amazing throughout this process of building up this team, building this car, getting it figured out. But when it came to kind of the pressures of that moment, I'll say, I felt confident that the car was good and that we were going to be okay. It got a lot more exciting than I ever thought because the person chasing me ended up actually getting into me in turn one, pushed me up, nice clean bump and run, but got under me in turn one and two, and it was a race for three and four, and I kind of just let it hum in three and four and hope it stuck, and it did. So I was lucky enough to race around the outside of them.
Well, you got to love it when a plan comes together, and you can say what you want. Now you are a winner, so you got to live up to that. You win the race Friday night. It parlays itself now into an opportunity to go run a 360 sprint car. What was that like?
Yeah, what a weekend. So on Friday night, I win my first race, a year to the day, basically, at the end of my first season. And then the next night, a good friend of mine, Jamie Turner, from Team Turner Racing, who's been running 360s for about a decade now, his sons are very accomplished in 360 class, Corey and Ryan Turner. And they gave me the opportunity, said, hey, we have a car that's ready to go. Do you want to come and race a 360? And that's a whole different ballgame. The crates are running in and around 400 horse. The car is about 1,600 pounds, whereas a 360, they're running about 600 plus. At 1,500 pounds, so it's 100 pounds lighter and about 250 horse more.
Yeah.
So it's they're the real deal. They fly.
A Cessna versus a jet.
Pretty much, yeah. I only practiced once in the car. I had about 8 laps a month before that. I was pretty nervous going into it, but it was such a cool experience. Because here I am lined up in my heat race against people like Glenn Stires and Jim Hoopinen and Jamie Turner, the car owner. And I have been watching them since I was a little kid. And they're the reason I fell in love with sprint car racing in the first place. And then in front of me, which was pretty cool, was Holly Porter. Holly's been an amazing racer. Came up through the crate division and now is into a 360. Is, I like to argue, one of the most consistent drivers that you could ever watch. When it comes, especially to dirt racing, it's really hard to be consistent, just lap after lap. And so I try to kind of emulate my driving style after Holly, and here she is starting in front of me. So that was a cool moment, coming around on a pace lap and a 360. The thing's kind of like a nuclear bomb that you control with your foot. And then I have all these kind of local heroes around me that really helped me fall in love with this sport to begin with. So it was a pretty cool experience.
I could listen to you talk all night.
Yes, so I
like,
he's
honestly,
very
dude,
good at it.
Like,
you're creating opportunity is what you're doing.
100%. You don't realize the amount of opportunity you're going to create for yourself just on how, you know, how much passion you have for the sport. You can tell, you know, there's a lot of people that jump into this deal you're obviously having success now. That's you check that box. You know, you've got the passion for the sport, the love for the sport. You're going to go a long way in this deal. And, you know, I absolutely love listening to you and the excitement that you have. And I honestly mean that. I'm not just blowing smoke,
that.
Man.
I really appreciate that. I'm really proud of our team. I mean, from my sponsors to my dad to my wife, Amy, to my crew, Nick and Sam and Dan, we've never been to a racetrack. Like, I'm a big racing fan, but my crew hadn't. My sponsors didn't even know what a sprint car was. And they kind of just banked on me, which was amazing. And they're good friends of mine, and I really appreciate it. No one ever thought that we had this an opportunity to finish on a podium, let alone a top 10. My goal coming into this year was hopefully some top 15 if we were lucky. And now we're sitting here with four top 10s in five races, including a win and two podiums. So it's been a surreal experience. And, you know, on top of that, a year and a half ago when I started this journey with my dad, it was a father-son project. We built the car in the garage. I bought a roller out of Ohio. We actually learned at the same time my dad had lung cancer.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, we're going through that process, a horrific process of battling lung cancer and building this car and building a team. And racing has been the greatest distraction we could have ever asked for over the last year and a half. Throughout this process, I just can't imagine what we would have done as a family if it wasn't for the dirt track, the family at our Schweiken, and with the Action Sprint Tour. It's just been incredible. It's been a great distraction for us throughout this whole process. And my dad was there for that win, and that, again, that's something we could have never expected, but I'm so happy that he was able to experience it live in person. To see just how far we were able to come. I don't know if I'll ever win again, and that, so be it, because this was a pretty cool experience. Just everything that my dad's going through, our family's going through, I just really appreciate that moment that we were able to have. And there's a lot of people that we owe that to as well. Like the Turners have given us so many opportunities and so much knowledge to get us going. And so it's been just a terrific experience.
With Alan Downey tonight, coming off his first win, a very, very short career so far, just started in the game, comes out with a victory in a very, very tough class. Tough to qualify, let alone win. Can you imagine, before I get to that, hit those sponsors that are on that 19 car, because I know they mean a ton. Who have you got on there?
Yeah, I can't thank them enough, but I'm trying to, because they jumped on board without ever seeing a sprint car. But there's Velocity Mechanical, Inline Electric, DNR Automotive, ILA Sports, and just this week we got Flexivit. Really proud to have them on board, really excited. But all these sponsors, again, they really had never seen a sprint car race. They jumped on board to support us, and I literally would not be able to do it without them, to put a competitive car onto the racetrack. You know, I'm doing my homework the best that I can to learn how these things work, how to set them up. But if it wasn't for them, we really wouldn't be able to get on the track. So
well,
I really appreciate all their support.
You are nailing it, my friend. And final question for you tonight. Close your eyes and just wonder what it's going to be like when the big O gets to crack the gates open and fans get to show up in 2021. Can you imagine how much fun you're going to have?
Yeah, we all miss what I like to call home. No offense to any other track, but, you know, Oshweken is the capital of sprint cars in Canada, and it will be for years and years to come. I just can't wait for it to open up again and we can get back at it with those, you know, 50-plus cars showing up in the crate division, 40 cars showing up in the 360s. It's a hoot. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't been out as fans, you've got to come check out a 360 race. You've never seen anything go that fast in your life, I guarantee it.
Yeah, well, and you get guys like Ryan Hunsinger with you out there and Mac DeMann, and, oh, there's so many good teams. Hey, this has been great catching up with you tonight. Alan, congratulations on the win. I know we're going to get you back on this very show throughout the course of the off season. We'll find out how the plans are coming for 2021, and we just appreciate the time, my friend. Good job.
Great. Thank you so much.
You betcha. That is Alan Downey, driver of the 19. He won at Merrittville. His home track is Elsweek in that crate division. Dynamite division. Glenn put that together. Him and Clinton Jeffrey. They were saying, you know, if we put this division together, it's going to prove to be a winner. Can you remember that conversation?
It's 100% the reason why that division was created.
Can you imagine? Look at where it is today.
100%. And it, you know, it goes to show that affordability can be built into racing.
Yes.
They're not a cheap car to run.
No.
They're not a cheap race car. But the neat part is there's a tremendous amount of 360 cars. There's a tremendous amount of 410 sprint cars sprinkled all around North America.
Yeah. You want to get good at that? Get good at this.
Yeah. Here's a crate sprint.
Yeah,
you know,
instead
of having a $35,000 motor bill, you've got a $4,500 motor bill, a whole lot different program. You know, obviously a different animal to drive, but it teaches you the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Just a cool deal. And you know what? He mentioned it. He's also an author. You know,
yeah.
Alan's also an author. Wrote a book there. You can check him out online there. You can, search him out on Facebook. But, you know, it's surprising to me that on the oval side,
mm-hmm.
on both on asphalt and on dirt, there's not more white collar guys, right? He's a professional, he's a professor.
Yep.
You know, as a career, are you surprised by that there's not more white collar guys like that? It seems like the white collar guys that are motorsports fanatics go down the road racing.
Well, could be
angle, but are you surprised that you don't see more of that?
Junior, I am surprised just about every night we turn the microphones on and get the guests on.
There's
we get on
so much difference.
There is
out there.
So many good stories in short track racing up
yes.
here in Canada that just people don't know.
Yep.
And when people find out, that's what drives us.
Exactly.
There is our passion for this sport.
Yep.
Let's get back to the hotline, shall we, and bring in another winner. This driver went to Victory Lane at Sunset Speedway. He drives in the Oscar Modified Division, the Queenston Chevrolet Modifieds. And I'll tell you what, a tough, tough division to win in. And AJMs went to Victory Lane at Sunset Speedway and broke Andy Kamrath's 6-race series streak that he had going on. It stopped at 6. AJ was the stopper. He joins us now on the hotline. What's going on, AJ? How you doing?
I'm doing great. What about yourself?
Fantastic, man. You drive that number 14. You just about did it again yesterday at Cayuga. Man, that car was hooked up.
Yeah, you know what? Yesterday was a long day at DeCastle Motor Speedway, but we were really happy to get back to the racetrack with everything going on this season. I know for us yesterday, we didn't have quite the speed we had at Sunset, unfortunately, and kind of had some issues out on the racetrack, but overall a solid day. And like you said, the competition in the Oscar Modified division is just so stout that it says a lot to be able to run up front about our entire team and all the great people we have involved with us.
AJ, there's a long-standing, it's an inside joke between J.R. Fitzpatrick and I always tell J.R. Fitzpatrick that he likes to drive it in Burger King deep. And he likes to attack the center of the corner everywhere he goes. And I tell you what, yesterday, the only thing that I could think about watching you on the racetrack, I was standing directly. We were the final pit stall with the DJK team, the final pit stall down into turn number 4. And watching you come into 3 every single lap, man, your car was so good to the center of the corner, but then you just couldn't get off. But you kept making up for it, driving into the center of the corner, about 40 car lengths deeper than everybody else. It was awesome to watch.
Yeah, you know what? From the time I was a kid racing go-karts, that's really been my driving style. And I know that when we do set up race cars in different ways, I've really had to try to change my driving style to ensure that I don't drive into the corner that deep. But yesterday, just with the crate motor at Jocassa and just having some issues with some gearing, et cetera, that's what I decided was going to be best for me in that situation. So I definitely decided, you know what, I'm just going to drive it in as deep as I could. And you know what, that especially helped me on the outside, getting around some race cars. Was able to build up some momentum, but definitely my driving style, being able to drive it into the corner that deep. And again, I'm fortunate to have a race car that allows me to do that.
It had to be fun.
Oh yeah, it had to
be a ball.
Drive it. Yeah, I've heard people say drive it until you see Jesus. And yesterday you seen him, his brother, and then you know his dog too. Like, it was wild. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, Jocassa is one of those places in my experience racing at some different racetracks. I know. One is Thompson Motor Speedway down in Connecticut. We raced there in a Pro 4 modified years ago, and you drive it in, and you carry a lot of speed at Thompson, but nothing quite compares to Cayuga. And I know that one thing that when I first started driving there was to turn into the corner still going full throttle was something that I hadn't really done before, just growing up racing on short tracks around Ontario. So that really sparked my interest. So the more and more confident I get, the harder I can drive it in. So.
Well, good success yesterday, but the ultimate success was at Sunset Speedway a week ago. Let's talk about that feature win. I was there at that Sunset race watching you, and man, that car was on rails. You were dead nuts flying out there. Take us back to Sunset. What was it like inside the car?
Oh, well, you know what? It really started the week before. You know, at the start of the season, we really had some issues that we needed to resolve. And I was really fortunate, like I said, to have great people around me with my dad, Ryan, one of my crew guys, Peter Chitanis, who's been around the racing world for years, and Mike Westwood helping me out. So starting back in the shop, before Sunset, we changed our whole setup. We were able to go testing on the Friday with Peter Chitanis and kind of shake down the car and, again, made a bunch of changes just to try to dial it in. And you know what, all that work and perseverance from our team really paid off as we were able to put a solid piece together for Sunset, a track that, you know, in the past I haven't really had the success that I wanted to in terms of finishes. So in the race car, I just knew that, you know what, we weren't able to make any mistakes, and it was really going to come down to making zero mistakes to try to beat the 89 car, and not just the 89, but some of the other competitors in the Oscar modified division. I mean, there's so many that have such good cars and are such good drivers. So it really does take zero mistakes. And we might not have had zero, but we definitely minimized mistakes, and that's what helped us to secure that victory.
Yeah, I know a lot of emphasis has been put on Andy Kamrath with that London Recreational 89. That thing has been a missile. He's been out. He's done a great job. But like you just mentioned, the competition in that class from Kelly Bolson and, you know, the 34, we got TJ coming up. He went to victory lane yesterday. There is a lot of very, very stout modifieds. These guys, you don't get that big separation that we used to see in the modifieds now. All of you guys have got it all reined in and tightened up. It's got to be tough.
Yeah, you know, without a doubt, and there's more and more I would say builders and people with experience from the sport becoming involved in the Oscar modified division. That really helps to grow the series, and it helps to strengthen the competition. For me, it also helps to make me better and our entire team get better. So I definitely welcome all that competition and all those great people getting involved, because again, it does make me better. But you know what, years ago, you know, you might be able to zip through the pack a little bit quicker. Now we're looking at a very solid field all the way through. With many of the guys coming into the Oscar modified division as rookies, maybe to the division, but in the past, many of them have had championships at different short tracks or different divisions. So lots of great experience coming in, not only on the wrenches, but also in the driver's seat.
Yeah, so much emphasis has to today go into qualifying before that feature. A lot of work's done in between those lines through practice, qualifying, and on up into the race. But AJMs, you nailed it. Sponsorship on that car, not only does it go, but my God, you got a good-looking car there. A lot of good support.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Like I said, I've been so fortunate to have so many people surround me throughout my entire career. Realistically, we wouldn't be able to get to the racetrack without the support from my entire family. My dad and I obviously do a lot together. My stepmom, my fiance, Cassie, you know, they put a lot of hours in. But my crew guys, I mean, I'm not rich. I can't afford to pay these guys. So, you know, a lot of volunteer hours from my guys, Ryan Ward. He puts in a lot of time. BAE Environmental, Quants Canada, TL Tire from Aurelia, Speedy Glass Aurelia, all people that, you know what, if they weren't available to help me, then I wouldn't be able to get to the racetrack. So although that race car looks that good, we aren't a high-dollar team, and I'm very fortunate to have those people around me to make this happen.
Well, you're nailing it, kiddo. What do you got next? Where's that next race for that 14 car?
Well, we're hoping we're going to have Autumn Colors Classic. You know, that's an event that we won in 2016 and one that I always circle each and every year to head to. Peterborough is one of those rough and tough tracks, I think, and I love tracks with character, and I love, obviously, tracks that I can drive deep into the corner, and Peterborough Speedway kind of suits that for me. So I really hope that we're able to get in Autumn Colors this year. If not, you'll see me working around the pits on different race cars, anything I can get my hands on to keep learning and keep getting better.
Well, fingers crossed. I've got an email out to JP. I said, soon as something breaks, let us know. We'll get you on RTR and get the word out there. But, AJ, this has been great catching up with you. Congratulations on the success at Sunset, and congratulations on a decent run at Ducasse yesterday.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me on.
You betcha. That's AJM's driver of the 14, the Queenston Shovels Oscar Modifieds. And we are going to hit this break. When we come back, we're going to have the winner from Ducasse just yesterday. We got TJ Edwards, the driver of the number 34, lights out quick yesterday. We'll talk to him next, right here, live on Race Time.
Hi, this is Matt Box, driving number 27 Monte Carlo late model, sponsored by Transport Trailer Sales Incorporated, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Race Time Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
So you know you gotta do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoverfest 2020.
Clear, clear, clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's break this home.
Right here on racetimeradio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quickwick, they work.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect! Woo!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. This 2 hours just goes by like lightning here on Racetime Radio. Welcome back, everybody, live tonight on SiriusXM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. My dad, we got a lot of great programming on this channel. If you haven't listened to Canada Talks throughout the course of the day, throughout the course of the week, I suggest you try it out, man. I'll tell you what, we got a lot of really good programs with a lot of good show hosts that I guarantee will entertain you as you drive on down the road. But what do you say we get back to the hotline? Our next guest and our final guest of tonight goes to Victory Lane at Yukasa Motor Speedway. Just yesterday, it was the Oscar Modifieds on track. I believe the last scheduled event for these guys for 2020. And it was the number 34, TJ Edwards, goes to Victory Lane. He's on the hotline. What's going on, TJ? How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you today?
Fantastic, man. You had that 34 cruising yesterday.
Yeah, it was working really well. We struggled in practice tight all day, and then we finally went up the track bar and changed a few things for the feature, and it played out in our advantage.
Well, and that's what you need to do, right? You need to make those adjustments, and you got to know which ones to do and when to do them. You pick the right ones at the right time. What was it like there yesterday? Was the track hot and greasy? I know it was a nice day.
I'd say it was pretty good for us. It seemed to come in really good for us in the feature, I found.
It's pretty daunting, right? That speedway, a fast 5/8-mile track, all new pavement, or relatively new now. What's it take, kahuna-wise, driving it off into turn one or two, or down into 3-4? What's it like? Because you got to keep your foot in it for a certain amount of time. You do need to lift. If you don't, you're going to sail it off and end up in Hagersville somewhere. But what's it like sort of setting your mind up to go into those turns?
It's just one of those things. It's like any track. You just got to see how far you can push it until you slide up, and then you back your corner up a little bit and try to get to the gas as soon as you can.
And it's crazy, right, Junior? Yesterday, there was lots of side-by-side. At the front of the field, I seen a lot of side-by-side racing. That's where you got to be real careful. That guy on the inside, when you're on the outside, the guy's on the inside, you're praying that he lifts at the right time.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of give and take that's needed, you know, especially in the modifieds because your tires are exposed, right? You don't want to be jumping tires. You don't want to expose your suspension to any damage. But, you know, when you look at the race that they put on yesterday, it was a phenomenal modified race. There was obviously, you know, some contact and there was some blown motors and stuff like that happened throughout the race. But really the exciting portions of the race were through the middle. You know, the battle that you and Andy Kamrath had, you know, I obviously didn't have a complete vantage point where I could see the entire track, but we were watching basically from the end of the back stretch all the way in through 3 and 4 and down the front stretch from my vantage point. And you and Andy put on a whale of a show, but it wasn't smooth sailing by any stretch. You guys were both elbows up and getting sideways and getting after it. Your driving style, you know, you've turned a lot of laps on, you know, real short tracks, right, TJ? Like, you cut your teeth on Varney Speedway or Full Throttle Speedway, right? Is that where you cut your teeth originally?
Yeah, that's where I started out at Varney, and then we tried limited late model a bit with the Sauble and Sunset deal for a bit there, and then we went back to Varney, and then we bought a modified to try that, and ever since that it's been a big game changer, and I wouldn't change it for anything.
When you look at your driving style, Andy Kamrath's driving style, and I'm gonna lump Kelly Balson into this as well, because
Strawn.
He cut his and Strawn as well.
Yep.
But I have to lump Kelly Balson into this as well, coming from Peterborough Speedway. You know, gritty. That's how I would you know, name your driving style, and name the other two's driving style as well. Just is simply gritty. You guys, you know, aren't afraid to get down into the trenches and get after it and put the car not in harm's way, but put the car in the tight gaps and make holes. And that's what makes racing so much fun. And I have to say thank you for that, because it was a great race to watch. But looking at what you guys have built, that race car is a masterpiece. Brian McDonald has done a ton, and you guys have worked your tails off to get a beautiful race car underneath you. Talk to us a little bit what it's like to jump in that modified.
Yeah, it took a lot of work over the winter. We redid that car because it used to be Jim Bowman's, and we took it, redid everything. The only thing kept really was the fuel cell rear end and then the front suspension and the new tank kit on it, gauges. Brian's put his special touch on it and made a huge difference. And it's just so much fun. I always have a big smile on my face after I get out of that car.
Well, you turned Jimmy's car into a winner. I can guarantee you that. Good job on that sponsorship on the 34. Who you got helping you out?
I got JT Excavating, Can Do Homes, Just Foam It, Transaxle, Demolac, Caldecott Millwright, Seekers Collision, Stewart's Farm Equipment, Hallman's GM, Chevy Buick, Remax Donnery Davison, Signs and Needs, Wellington Perforated Plates and Steel, and Epic Racewear.
Well, you're well deckled up, and you did them real good yesterday. What's left for you, TJ? You got any races left, or do you get ready now for 2021?
We're hoping to run Peterborough if it goes. We're still waiting to hear from that. That's what I want to race. I love that track.
Well, you did awesome at UCASA. Much continued success. If something breaks, we'll have it here on Race Time. We appreciate the time tonight there, brother.
Thank you for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
You bet. That is TJ Edwards. Did a great job in that modified. A couple things that I want to touch on. We are, Junior, just about out of time. Tim Terry and Dylan Langell were back at it again today at Sydney Speedway out in Nova Scotia. You can check Tim's Corner out, timscorner.ca. He did that one live. It was a live pay-per-view. He will have it up. You can check it out. But I also wanted to touch on, and I mentioned it, Austin Hill in that Wayne's Canada car, or
which is
truck.
Down Valley. Yeah.
He did an amazing job, went to Victory Lane, and it was kind of cool to see Wayne's Canada on that machine. Also want to put it out to Andrew Grisel. Tough, tough day at UCASA in that El Grande, CUSW Sauble Falls Ford. That thing was destroyed. I feel terrible for him, but I did read a little piece there. That car is done for 2020. He's going to reload, and we'll see him bigger, faster in 2021.
Yeah, just an atrocious season. Terrible luck for those guys. And also, you got to give it out to Matt Perdigo and Matt Box as well.
Ooh,
those cars were hurt. And while we're at it, talking about the finalizing of what UCASA was this past weekend, you have to take your hat off to the Oscar Hot Rods.
Yes.
Best race of the weekend. I think, you know, I think everybody would echo that. Stompin' Tom Walters, Bookie Thompson, and Hahn all battling for the win. A phenomenal race. If you haven't seen it, go back and check it out. But great job on the efforts there, and sorry we didn't have you on.
Well, next week on the show, we'll reach out and see who we can get. I got to get Tom Walters on here. He did win a race. We haven't talked to him since then. He was a podium.
I called him old
yesterday.
Last week, or last yesterday. I called Ooh. Him old. I said, you're looking good for an old guy.
Oh, that would have hurt.
He didn't like that.
No, you can't call an old guy old.
I know.
Too much fun. Join us next Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern. We will be live from Flamborough Speedway. I say we, Jerry Paxton, along with Jim Irving. He is the announcer at Sauble Speedway. He's going to be on the broadcast with us. And so is Tracy Hoskins, first-time female pit reporter. The four of us are going to be live from Flamborough. I guarantee you we are going to have a blast. It'll be a great broadcast, and we're going to go flag to flag for everything that day. Starts at 3 p.m., all presented by London Recreational. Don't miss it. And then, of course, next Sunday night, we will be live right back here on Sirius XM, Channel 167. But that's going to do it for Junior and I tonight. Got to thank Susie Q here in the RTR studio and Scotty back in Toronto. You guys have a good one. Have a safe week, and we will catch you again next week live right here on Race Time Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.